Welcome to E360 TV, the live streaming and on-demand destination for influential voices and enlightened audiences. We offer trending, grassroots, and purpose-driven content across a diverse range of interests. E360 TV is more than just watching programs. We offer the ability to interact with live shows connecting audiences to real, authentic influencers and storytellers while streaming to millions of devices. Real experiences. Raw conversations. One destination for it all. E360 TV.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to My Bulletproof Marriages TV show on the Trajectory TV Network. We are so honored and excited that you are here with us. If you are married, single, engaged, in a relationship, divorced, or in an entanglement, stay locked. We have solutions for you.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's get it.
Hey, babe.
Yes, ma'am.
What do most men want in a woman?
Realness, authenticity, a woman that's intelligent, that...
I'm not sure I understand it, but everything seems brighter now than before.
Put that foot down now. That's awesome. All right, done. You get a twist out of this.
This fine thing at work.
And I don't fall in love so easily, 'cause I don't wear my heart up on my sleeve. Yeah. I don't know if you feel the same, but every time I hear.
All right.
All right.
I love that intro.
Me too.
Man.
Remember, being the best version of you is doing what's best for you in the present moment, leading you into your future self. You know what time it is?
I think it's mail call.
It's mail call.
Let's go. All right.
Okay, so.
Mail call.
Here we are. Oh, okay. My husband tells me every time we argue that I add no value to his life because I'm not the same person he married in 2009 when I was 23 and nothing special was going on in my life. Now I'm 40 with a career and have goals. So how am I supposed to not change as I mature? And is this what men really want?
Ooh,
Okay. I know. That's why I said, oh, okay. Well,
all right. Let me answer this, and I'm going to try to be as respectful as I can as far as it sounds like your husband is saying this when y'all argue, right? At least that's what it said here, which means he's saying it out of anger, and most likely he is doing this for a few reasons, but, you know, one of which is it kind of manipulates you, right, in a sense. And he's bringing up something that, you know, look, it's not the right way to do it. Now, what I will say is there might be things that you used to do for him that he feels like he's missing today. Okay. And that happens. Look, we've been together for over 2 decades. And I promise you, there were things that I did when I was dating my wife that I kind of neglected as the relationship went forward, because you just get comfortable and then life kind of kicks in and you got your job, you got the kids, you got all of this routine. And sometimes those little things that we used to do just for one another kind of fades away. So what I think is, usually when we're upset, we say things that we actually do feel, mm-hmm. right? But we say it in the wrong time and the wrong way. And that's what it sounds like is happening here. And there can be some manipulation with that as well, to try to convince you to do certain things. I don't know fully. So that part, you know, you can answer that for yourself. But what I will say is that, you know, last week we talked about communication and how it's like the lifeblood of a relationship. And without good communication, you know, you're going to struggle. And we also talk about hard conversations. And this is one of those hard conversations. You need to sit down and ask him, okay, you keep saying this mm-hmm. when you're upset. So what is it that I used to do, okay, that I no longer do that mm-hmm. I can begin to do? And how can, and then you guys formulate a plan where you can begin to implement these things. And what it also sounds like is that you've become focused on these goals. And so what it might be is just pure attention, right? You used to give him a lot of attention, and now you've matured and you have your, you know, sights set on whatever your goals are. And now that's taking maybe some of that attention away from him, and it may make him feel a certain way, right? But until you sit down and have a conversation, you're not going to know the truth of that situation, I would say. So sit down, have a conversation. I think that you guys need to form that plan and see what you guys are neglecting. And it's not just him. It could be what he's doing or not doing for you as well, because I guarantee you he's changed as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, has she brought up to his attention things that he probably no longer does, you know, for her or the relationship? And I think that has to be considered. And maybe she's just enjoying the present moment, the evolving time that has been present in their life since they've been 20. Well, she was 23. I don't know how old your husband is, but I would say if he's around that same age, that you have to take that in consideration, that yeah. you're supposed to evolve through the years. I've been with this guy since I was 18 years old. I am now 40. If I am the same young lady I was, okay, at 18 and now 40 years old, that's definitely an issue.
Right.
And it's an issue really for myself, because that means I'm not maturing in any way. And it sounds like that's what you've done. I would also, I like how you did bring up like your manipulation. I'm not saying that's what he's doing to you, but what I am saying is a lot of times when you're not evolved within yourself, if you're not willing to grow, okay, then everybody around you, you want them to stay, I would say, complacent.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody around you, especially not your partner, okay, to advance and start seeing life for what it is and where they want to go and start, you know, making moves in different directions than where you were when you were younger. Yeah, you might have decided when you were younger, oh, I want to be like this and I want to do this and I want to go here. And now you realize as you got older, those things are just tangible and they don't have much meaning.
What do they say?
And if he's kind of stuck, then maybe that's where the disconnect, like Chess said, is that's where it's at.
Yeah. What do they say? That you only pull down people that are moving up, right? Yeah. Like, or above you, right? Like those that are making moves and doing strides.
Right.
The people that aren't willing to do those things, those are the ones that want to pull someone. You'll never be pulled down by somebody that's further along
exactly.
the path than you, right? Because
trying to even go in the same direction as you. So maybe that's the issue, is that he wants to kind of stay complacent for where he's at when you guys were in your 20s.
Yeah.
And now you guys are in your 40s. And now he's like, well, I don't want to change. Well, That's definitely the hard conversation you need to have.
Right. And I'm not saying that because, again, it could just be a cry for things that he misses you doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it could be a mixture of things, but you have to sit down and really have an honest conversation with each other. So that way you can get to the root of what's taking place. Right. And I also want to say that's not the right thing to do when it comes to, if you need to communicate something with your partner, that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah. It's not the right setting to put the,
Or even not the right setting, not the right verbiage to use, none of that is going to form a good result. Okay. And so I would caution you guys as you move forward to really stress the importance of how you communicate with each other, right? Especially when you're angry. We just heard the other day that, and this was apparent, but this goes for just conversation period. And he said to never deal with your kids when you're angry.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing with each other, right? You might need some space before you have the conversation. You might need to cool yourself off and just calm down a little bit so you can think clearly and really articulate what you're trying to say in a peaceful and loving manner. So that's what I think
I love it.
Where we would shoot for that. Of course, we don't know everything. And
If
you want to set up a free call so we can help you further, you can also do that. You can reach us at E360 or My Bulletproof Marriages at E360TVLive.com for more questions or to connect with us and do a session. Any of that would be the way to go from this point forward. All right. That said, man, we have a phenomenal guest today.
And actually, this is so, the question kind of will help considering the person that we're bringing on.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure the guest that we have today, because, Matthew is a licensed marriage and family therapist in New York. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to butcher it. Okay. So I'll let him give the full name, but he's on Long Island and has been in the mental health field for 14 years and counting. He works with individuals, couples, and families with kids of all ages, ranging from as young as 4 up to 18, which is really cool because we believe that everything affects the marriage and especially raising kids. That becomes a critical point in the relationship. He also provides mental health support to homeless veterans. All my veterans, stand up. You know my love for you guys. I am one. And we need more people that are advocating for us. While helping them find stable housing, which is another very, 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 very big issue. He currently runs his own private practice where he provides telehealth therapy with office space coming in the next month or so for in-person sessions. So his goal is to make therapy accessible to anyone, even financially, for those without insurance. He's been married to his wife for 5 years and has 2 amazing little boys, ages 4 and 2, and 2 dogs, Bailey and Sammy. And his family is hands down what keeps him going every day.
Love that.
And I can't say any more because you know what? Listen, I could go on, right? But really, we need to bring him on. Okay. And so let's give a round of applause for Matthew.
Yay!
Hello, my friend.
Hello. Thank you for having me on today. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah,
we are too.
Yes, I forgot how to do the little clap thing. I gotta get better at that. Right? Good. I never got my raise your hands. And I forget we're online, right? Like they're clapping at home.
That's right.
Well, we're really thankful. You're only the, believe it or not, the only second, the second actual therapist that has been on our show, which is really cool. And the first therapist that came on, she was from overseas in the UK, and it was really crazy how, as coaches and just married couple for so many years, the things that we practice and the things that we preach aligned greatly with what she does. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's going to, and I think when we did our first call, that was one of the things that really drew us to you, is like, wow, they align. Because a lot of times we think in marriage, like what therapists are preaching and what reality is somehow different. And I don't think it's as different as people think. So I'm really excited about having you on. But before we get into the meat and potatoes, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this, because you were doing this before you even got married. So I'm interested to hear the backstory.
Sure. So I'll start off. The Americanized way of pronouncing our last name is Mangiapane. My wife will say it more of the Italian way, which is Mangiapane, which is bread in Italian.
So that's okay. Gotcha. I knew it was, I told you it was Italian. Yeah. Yep.
Very Italian.
He's from New York.
Side of the family.
New York.
Yep. So I sort of fell into the field itself. I started off, I always had a bit of an interest in psychology and mental health, and I always tried to help my friends out when they had things going on, you know, through middle school, high school, all the fun stuff that we deal with. And I wound up going into my undergrad degree without really any specific direction. I took a shotgun approach with the classes. I think I took 5 classes. Everyone was in a completely different field. And one of them happened to be Psych 1. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. I thought it was fascinating, interesting, and really resonated with me. I declared my major that next semester and ran with that. And funnily enough, I wound up having about a year and a half after my undergrad where I wasn't in school. I wound up taking some time off and working and trying to save a little bit of money. And then I had that itch to go back. So I started researching some master's programs. I found this marriage and family program through Hofstra University, which is here on Long Island. And I went through that. I interned there for a couple of years, was lucky enough to get a job right out of it, and have been very immersed in the field ever since. I've worked in so many different areas too. Right out of grad school, I worked with foster care kids in the system. And here in New York, you could be a foster care kid until 21. So I've even worked with those who are a little bit older before they transitioned out into whatever their future life was going to be. I've worked in a group home and provided family therapy for those families, for where the kids were in the group home and the families would come and meet with all of us together. And the past 7 years now, I've been working with a mental health agency, which you, Chad, had mentioned. Part of it is helping provide mental health and housing for homeless veterans.
Yeah.
That's in addition to the private practice work that I've done on the side throughout the years as well.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You are amazing.
Yeah. You've done a lot of great
thank
work.
Thank you so much, Matt.
A lot of work that I think a lot of people avoid, which is commendable for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There are people in need of all different types, races, religions, financial status, everything. Yeah. It's been wonderful to meet so many different kinds of people and provide whatever help I can for them, no matter how small or how big.
Right. Yeah,
I think sometimes we forget that sometimes people just fall upon hard times, like just get bad breaks in life. And, you know, it's easy to kind of turn away from that and act like it's not happening, or, you know, like somehow they should just be able to magically fix their situation, but that's just not the reality, you know? And so I'm really thankful that we have people like yourself who have, one, the expertise, but also the heart to help, especially the foster kids and the veterans. Like, that you're speaking my love language on that one, right? Because I just feel like not enough people
care,
you know, to say it bluntly. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are the biggest problems that you see when it comes to married couples or just couples in relationship? What's the biggest issue that they bring to you?
Well, it's funny that you two mentioned you had a whole conversation about communication last week. That was absolutely what my first thought was, is communication. And it's a very broad subject, because communication issues can be something as small as not discussing how to handle the chores around the house. It could be something big that leads to the couple relationship completely breaking down, or somebody turning to infidelity or abandoning their relationship or their family. There's such a wide gap in between with what communication can really affect, that pinpointing what it is and what communication is lacking can really be a big issue if it's not directly addressed, but B, it could be a bigger issue if it's never really solved too.
Well, and yeah, and it's like, I think we put, because, like, all right, let me say this. We're not taught how to communicate, you know, as youngsters, right? As we're growing up and going through the school system, you might learn history, but you don't learn how to communicate. And you definitely don't learn how to communicate your feelings, your wants, your needs, your desires, whatever, in an effective manner. At least most don't, you know. And I think not just in my life, but all the people that we've talked to, most people are very clueless on how to do that effectively. And then what we see is the small things, like you said, like the chores, like who's going to take out the trash, or they become some of the biggest issues. It's small, but it's not that one thing. It's like a string of things that they didn't know how to address or fix. So how do you address it? How do you get people that their whole life don't know how to communicate or articulate their feelings to start chipping away at that and start developing a more clear communication?
The first step is to really be open to your vulnerability and being willing to speak about the things that are going on. I know myself, I've dealt with my own struggles over the years and sometimes have found situations where it's difficult to speak my mind or to share. I'm hurt in the situation, or I feel this is not a good circumstance that I'm in, but maybe I'm too afraid to say it. I don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings, or maybe I'm doubting my own feelings about it. And that very much can come into the couple relationship where one person is feeling one thing, the other person's feeling another thing, and neither of them have any idea because they're not expressing it.
Right.
Or it's coming out in those real, you know, big fights, which none of us like to experience, but we've all experienced. I mean, you know, let's be realistic, of course. But I think when I'm working with a couple, especially for the first time, I try to keep the conversation very open, but also encourage that honesty and that vulnerability to as much as they're comfortable. Of course, everybody's different. And I try to tailor my own personal therapy to the clients that I'm seeing. But I always have that baseline of let's just get some of this out and let's talk about it. And let's try to talk about it in a neutral, safe environment so that nobody feels like they're being attacked or they're being judged, which is one of the key things from a therapist's perspective, is just listening and being non-judgmental. Because what works for me and my relationship or my family doesn't necessarily work for everybody else.
Right.
So for me to impart my biases on these other people is only going to harm them. I'm here to listen to what is going on with them and what could potentially work for them. So kind of opening that up and letting them know I'm here for them. I'm not here to tell them this is exactly how you have to live your relationship. This is exactly how your family has to be. Instead, I'm there listening and saying, tell me what's going on between the two of you, or what's going on between the, you know, everybody in your family. And let's figure out how we can get you all back on a path that works for you, which I think is also something that scares a lot of people away from therapy, because similar to what you were saying before too, some people might think that they go into therapy and they're just going to have the therapist telling them you're wrong and this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing this and you're doing this the wrong way. You know, who wants to go in and sit in a session where you're just being berated, which is not what happens in therapy, but people get worked up in their own mind. And, you know, it all kind of ties together where that open honesty really is a key factor in communication overall. And that's something I try very hard to foster.
Yeah. I want to, cause it's something that we preach. And because we've noticed that, yes, you need to be vulnerable. And a lot of times we allow our pride or our assumptions of how another person will react to keep us silent and holding those things in. But you hit on something that we also think is very important. And you can't be vulnerable if you don't have a safe environment, or you don't feel like that environment is conducive for that expression. And so I would like, if you don't mind, talking about that a little bit, because, or a little bit deeper, because, you know, we want the vulnerability, but if you can't create an environment for your partner to feel comfortable expressing how they feel, or the real honest opinion of whatever's going on, it's not, you're going to get a very tainted response. And then it causes more issues because you thought what they told you was the truth, but it wasn't, you know, and we see a lot of that. So I would love your take on how to maybe start making it a little bit more of a space that we can, you know, be truthful in.
It will depend on if the couple is looking to start things off at home or they're looking to start things off in a professional setting. When we're looking at things at home, I would absolutely say find a comfortable spot. If it's a couple that's living together, find a neutral area in your home. Don't put it in the bedroom, because then you're going to have those negative connotations when you go to bed at the end of the night. You obviously don't want it in the bathroom or the basement. Those aren't necessarily the best places either, unless you have a nicer basement than I have. But your living room, your kitchen area, someplace that's neutral, and set boundaries, set honest goals too. Let's take 10 minutes aside on Sunday morning, and let's just say, let's write down what's bothering us, and let's mm-hmm. just look at it together. We don't even have to respond to it. Let's just find out what's bothering each other. I think having even something very simple and almost cliche is scheduling that time to have this discussion can really go a long way for people who are finding difficulty in having even just the time to do something like that. It gives you that expectation, and it gives mm-hmm. you a little time to even prepare. And doing it in a neutral space, you know, keep the TVs off, keep mm-hmm. any music, unless you have some soft jazz in the background, like my wife likes to have all the time, whatever makes you guys comfortable. And again, it is very couple dependent, but make sure you're agreeing on how you're doing it. Because if one person is really not in agreement of it, then you're just not necessarily wasting time, but you're making it a lot harder to break through those walls that are up. Mm-hmm. When you're in a professional setting, the biggest thing that I always say to any clients that I'm working with or potentially working with is make sure you're comfortable with the therapist that you're with. Yeah. There are a lot of mental health providers out there, and not everybody is going to match with everybody, and that's perfectly okay. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with the therapist. Sometimes we just don't fit, or we don't feel the person's really hearing us, or we don't feel this person is experienced in let's say, couples specifically. It's okay to look around and shop around a little bit and find somebody that you click with and that your partner feels comfortable with too. Otherwise, again, you're just blowing in the wind and not really getting anywhere.
Right. Yeah. You're so right. Do 100%. You feel that most, do you feel like when the sessions are created, right, is it kind of led by the woman or led by the man? I'm interested in that, because I know that, like, a lot of times, you know, like, men feel like they don't have a voice, you know, and the woman is the one that kind of booked the session, and you're going to sit down and we're going to talk, and it's really I'm going to talk and you're going to listen, you know, and they're going to agree with me, and then we're going to go home and I was right about everything, and I just want you to remember that. And that's played out a lot, actually, through just, like, you know, movies and, you know, in other aspects of what people see. And I just thought, like, you know, I need to know. I'm interested.
I mean, certainly from my experience, it's been a little more women initiated, mm-hmm. but not as lopsided as you might think, or as you might see in media. I've seen some family situations that started off with the father coming in with his child and eventually bringing in the partner afterwards. Okay. I've had some couples that are actually very equal with how they're trying to approach things together. And they decided together, we need to go into therapy. We have these things going on, so let's look together. So there's all different ways that it initiates itself, but there's a little more of women who are calling first and setting things up and starting off the therapy. But it definitely, it does go both ways.
Okay. Do you think that's because men don't know how to express themselves or advocate for themselves? Do you think that's why there's a slight edge? Because, I mean, like you said, it's probably not as lopsided as what we think, but at least a lot of the men that I know and deal with, they struggle to express. So I didn't know if that's what maybe you thought is one of the leading parts or reasons that men don't take that role.
Mm-hmm. I could see that absolutely as being a factor. Not to create any universalities or anything, but you always hear how women are a little more open and taught to be more open with their feelings, and men, it's shifting a little bit, which is good, but sometimes you got to be that strong man. You're not supposed to be crying when you fall off your bike. You're not supposed to be upset when the specific situation happens. Yeah. I myself, a little personal background, I'm not a veteran myself, but my father was in Vietnam. My uncle was in Vietnam. So I was surrounded by male family members who were very stoic and weren't really overly emotional. So you pick up on those things as you grow up a little bit too. And I think that's a little more common than not, and makes it more difficult for some men to be okay with those emotions and to be okay with saying I'm hurt and vulnerable and I need help.
Right. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm, man, for sure. Yeah, this is great. So we do need to take a quick break real quick. And when we're going to, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. This has really started strong, and I love where we're going with this. So I can't wait. So give us a few seconds and we will be right back.
5 years ago, the Power of We Symposium was created to provide a platform for kids from all sectors where they could have a safe and comfortable environment in which to share both their joys and concerns. The Power of We Symposium is proud to have served over 250 kids throughout Romania when we took our mission global back in May of 2023. Now, two teams of amazing volunteers from both the U.S. and Romania embarked on an 8-day Legacy of Hope tour, bringing encouragement and hope to not only the kids of Romania, but also the adults who support them, and also to over 100 kids here in the U.S. who contributed handwritten letters of hope to our Romania mission of 2023. Now, this year, we are proud to provide this opportunity yet again in October, and we are super excited to up our game, new venue, 750 kids this time, and we want to see you there. We're looking forward to meeting you in person at this year's event, which promises, as always, incredible speakers, amazing content, and of course, some of the greatest kids on the planet. So, mark your calendars for October 24th, and we'll see you here in Chicagoland for the Power of We Symposium 2024. This year's theme is Always Together, Never Alone. Tickets are available now on Eventbrite or at powerofwesymposium.com.
We could have had one of those swings, but we had a park. But
I was telling him, I was like, we literally walked in the backyard and we had a whole park. So, I mean, we were good.
Just saying,
we
didn't need to purchase the swing. Right?
The swing was really cool, though. You know, but for those who do not have a park,
get the swing. Okay. But hey, you know, if you missed the first half of this, you need to go back and watch it from the beginning. All right. We're here with Matthew and we are getting into the weeds of marriage, and it is turning out to be a very informative conversation, and I'm excited. So
me too, because you know, I'll be a little transparent ourselves. We only went to marriage counseling. Actually, we just did premarital counseling. That was it. We've never gone to marriage counseling, which we should have. Because if you follow us, you all know that our first 10 years of marriage, whoo, Jesus, oh, okay, Lord. God himself stepped in. Thank you, Lord, because it was horrible, horrible. And we did not know how to communicate. That's what the biggest issue was. We didn't know how to just sit and have conversations about what we were actually feeling, what we were going through. And we came into the marriage with lots of trauma and issues, and we didn't deal with those things prior to. So, you know, my next question would be for those who say that they have this strong, great relationship and they never fight and they never argue, should they seek counseling or
is that okay?
Is that okay? Like, I'm just curious because it's actually been a theme. I told my husband, I saw it actually in a marriage group where this they became coaches after being married for 2 years. And their biggest thing is they've never fought. They'd never had an argument. And they were showing pictures of their, you know, what they, the trips that they go on and, you know, their life and everything's great. And then of course, you know, at the end they're pitching how they, you should come work with them. And I told my husband, like, I would never work with anybody that's never had an argument, because I'm sorry, how are you going to help me from a realistic point of view or even a clinical point of view when you haven't been like married as long as we have, you know, and gone through half the stuff that we have? But then second of all, like, I'm coming to you because we're having issues of arguing. So I need your help and your expertise and to help us stop arguing the way that we are. And so I'm just curious, what's your thoughts?
Sure. So I guess I'll say that my first thought was, if they're saying they've never fought, I don't believe them. Or at least something's going on there.
Right.
Fighting is normal. Fighting doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Right. It's really a matter of learning how to fight, which sounds almost kind of silly because.
No. We did a whole podcast on healthy. Healthy fighting.
Yeah, learn how to fight.
There's always going to be disagreements. You're two different people. Right. You're not the same person either. And that's what makes relationships, marriages exciting, is it's somebody who's different than you. You're not, you know, married or engaged or even just partnered with somebody who's exactly like you. Things might get a little boring there because you're not going to try new things. You're not going to learn about different perspectives. Fighting and accepting that fights are a part of a relationship is okay. If somebody is truly in a relationship where they're not fighting, I give them a lot of credit for that. Part of me, this is a personal bias, I suppose, but I would wonder if there's maybe something underneath that they're just not addressing with each other. Some people are 100% in agreement, but who am I to say? I've never been in that kind of relationship before, so maybe they exist. And the thing with therapy too is it doesn't have to be reactive. It could be preventative, like the pre-marriage counseling like you two did. That's a wonderful thing for some couples. But even couples that are already together and married and are feeling things are getting a little rough, it doesn't have to turn into a big catastrophe before you go to therapy. It doesn't have to be either therapy or divorce. It could be therapy so that we just keep ourselves on a steady track too. Yes. And that's something to keep in mind.
Well, I like how you said preventative, because, you know, usually we seek help after things have gone awry, right? Like everything is kind of falling down, the house is burning, and then we want to make the phone call, right? But it's very intelligent to continue to strengthen your relationship so that way you don't have to face the house burning down, right? Like once you see some sparks, you know how to react or really respond to that, so that way it doesn't become something more. And we preach that because I think we're always growing, you know, we're always learning, and you've never arrived. I think we as humans think that there's this imaginary place where you just arrive and all is well and you know all the answers, but life is going to make sure that there's a curveball in there every once in a while that you know, kind of tips you off your stance a little bit. And, you know, so I like that you said that, and I would encourage everyone listening to constantly seek, you know, some form of knowledge and help and coaching, counseling, whatever you can to help strengthen and grow your relationship. My question, I think, is Linnell said something about past trauma, and we've kind of ran into this a lot. One, in our own life, we both had things that we had faced early in our lives that we never dealt with. We didn't really know how to deal with it. And then we found each other, got in love, got married, but never dealt with these underlying issues. Mm-hmm. And for us, we realized that my partner wasn't the problem. I was the problem. And all of these things that I had never addressed was really the problem in my relationship. It wasn't necessarily her or me for her. And so I would ask you, you know, what your thoughts on that is, and how do you, or what advice would you give a couple who knows that they've had maybe a rough upbringing, whatever, they have some trauma that they haven't necessarily dealt with, but they're in a relationship. They love their partner, but it's becoming an issue. And so how do we address this?
So another little personal anecdote. Before I met my wife, I was at a place where I was ready to start focusing on myself, and I needed to be at that place because for who knows how long before then, it was just, I want to be with somebody. I want a partner. I want whatever comes with that, not necessarily dealing with the things that I needed to deal with for myself. So luckily and coincidentally, I was able to focus on myself at that time and was lucky enough to have met my wife, and the rest is history from there. But I think that's something that more people can try to keep in mind for themselves. We all would love to have a committed partnership with somebody. It's a wonderful thing in so many ways, but you have to be okay with yourself, or you have to be at least at a point in your life where you're comfortable knowing you have these flaws and you're working on them and actively working on them, not just saying you're going to work on them. That could include therapy. That could include your own skill building, going to community groups, increasing your socialization a little bit. There's a number of different things that can be done, but I think the biggest thing in any relationship is hopefully that each individual is at a point where either they're okay with themselves or they're working on the things that they're not okay with. Because yeah. I don't think there's a person alive who doesn't have something that they would want to work on or fix or repair, you know, past trauma or more present trauma, whatever it might be. And that's okay. We all go through that. And many, many, many people don't even realize that there are other people in the same boat too. You might find groups or people even in your job, your community, your neighborhood that have been through this same things. And maybe they have some ideas on what you can do, or maybe other people have just a way to vent those frustrations out to other people openly. Finding ways to help yourself is absolutely important. And there's nothing saying that you can't also do it while you're working on your relationship.
That's Amen. Right. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Okay. You know, I can say that reality really is coincide with the clinical way of thinking, you know? So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I really do. So my next question for you is children. You help children, and children, I love children. They're like my passion. You know why? Because children are truthful. That's why I love kids. You know, children have no filter. And I always tell people, like, if you want to know the truth, find a child. Find a child, and the child going to tell you the truth. Do I look fat in this? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay? Kids are just honest, and I love that. But when it comes to children, you know, seeing a therapist, How are children affected by a negative environment when it comes to parents trying to work on their marriage, but don't know how to communicate, don't know how to deal with each other, and then the children are in play dealing with all of this? How are kids affected by all of this when they come to you?
Mm-hmm. Kids can be affected in a number of ways, and they come out in a number of different ways too. You'll find kids start struggling in school. They start having more trouble keeping friendships or connecting with, say, cousins or other family members. Maybe they become more isolated. They're not going out and playing with their friends as much. Although I don't know if kids today are really out as much as kids, you know, when we were that age.
Right.
I was out on my bike in the neighborhood every day, you know.
Right. I'm
gonna be inside more than not, probably. Not if I could help it, though. But it starts to come out in these ways. You can even see it in something like the drawings that a child is doing. Mm-hmm. With some of the first clients I worked with way back when, I don't remember if they were separated or divorced completely, but it was a couple that were no longer together. They had two younger kids, and I would have sessions with the father and the two kids, and I would have sessions with the mother and the two kids. They just could not work together as two individuals, but separately I was able to work with them from the parenting side. But the kids, I would have them just talk about things at home. What's it like at home? What happens if daddy's in a bad mood, or what happens if mommy's in a bad mood, or what happens if you see them talking to each other? I would have the kids draw things out, and why don't you draw me your house and draw me your family? And you can pull things from that too. You can see if they draw the family and you got mom and the two kids standing together with a dog in front of the front door, and you see dad all the way over here in the middle of nowhere, something's going on there. There's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be aware of the little changes in your own children. And I think the more signs you're seeing, the more important it might be to at least get into some kind of professional help early on.
Okay.
And one of the bigger things too is couples fighting or parents fighting in front of their kids, which I've strongly advise as best as you can, keep it away from the kids. And mm-hmm. It's certainly not a, you know, it's not always feasible. Things happen or things blow up and we try to do our best. But my advice to parents is if you find yourselves getting into that mindset and the kids are around, try to take a pause and say, let's talk about this later, or let's give it a half an hour and we'll discuss it when they're in bed for the night. Because that can be very difficult for kids to hear their parents very strongly fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you this, since we're on the topic of kids. Kids are very intuitive and they kind of just can sense something. So let's say you are avoiding fighting in front of them, right? But your kid knows. Your kid knows that there's the vibe is off between mom and dad. Would you recommend just straight honesty with, you know, good environment, maybe like, you know, set them down, take them out for ice cream, and maybe they ask, like, what's going on with you and dad? Do you encourage just some transparency with them? Or how would you advise parents to address their children so that way there's not this big divide or they feel like they're being betrayed or lied to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Transparency is important. It is. And kids are sponges in a million different ways. Mm-hmm. And they can absolutely pick up on if mom and dad or whoever's in the household is angry without expressing it outwardly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely pick up on that. And it's okay to sit them down. I think taking them out for ice cream and let's just talk a little bit. And I'll tell you that me and mommy are just having a tough time right now. It has nothing to do with you, which I think is important too. Yeah. You want to make sure the children understand that it's not them. It's our own issues that we're dealing with ourselves. And you don't have to use that kind of language, of course, but bring it down to their level and meet them where they're at. And that honesty can really help long term, especially if, let's say, the marriage no longer works and there's a divorce down the road. At least the kids have a little more of a base understanding. Like, it's not because of me, and mommy and daddy are just not, they're not happy together. That doesn't mean they don't love us. And that transparency can really help that, you know. Yeah. It's case by case, of course. Some children are a little more understanding than others, or age range, you know, certainly plays a factor too. But I think that honesty is important. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Boom.
Sorry.
Well, first marriage, right?
Hello, well, you know, I mean, early on, we didn't know how to communicate or, you know, so our kids, you know, saw and heard a lot of things. We were also very young. That's an excuse. Young. But I mean, we were 21. We were young with two children. And now we're in our 40s and, you know, it's like we had a 5-year gap and then had two more, right? And so we parent very differently with both, you know, with our four children. And I just, you know, we're very honest and open with our kids. And they do. They'll sense like, are you guys good? Especially our youngest one. He's so empathetic and he picks up on vibes like nobody's business. He'll walk in a room and he'll know something's off. He'll be like, are y'all good? And we're like, yeah, we're good. And we'll just be laughing because we really are. I will say through, you know, all these years, not that we still don't argue, everybody. Okay, so we still have moments, but our arguments are just more of like, hey, let's take a break, right? Like, you know what? We're not agreeing on this matter. So I'm just going to take a break and we come back, then we can discuss it. And we don't have to agree, but I just want you to understand my side. And so we just always transparent with our children. And that's why I was high-fiving him. Like, I love that you're saying this because you're doing a great job.
Well, and let me, you know, something that has intrigued me, because you were doing that. You've been doing this for 14, 15 years. And so you were doing this before you got married. Now, how did that work in your own relationship? So you have this training mm-hmm. and you're advising people, but now you're having to implement some of this stuff in your own life. Was there like, hey, this technique works, but you have to kind of make it, you kind of have to tailor it to you? Or did you see anything that you were like, man, I'm going to stop, you know, teaching this, or I'm going to add this? Or like, how did that transition work as far as what you know to do or what you were teaching compared to what you actually had to act out on a daily basis?
So I'm sure at some point you've heard the term that therapists need their own therapist. And that's absolutely true. And that's okay too. Again, there's nothing wrong with getting that help outside if you need it. Having that mental health brain, and that's what I call it, has been, it has its pros and cons like anything. When I came into any relationship, but particularly my marriage to my wife, Kim, it's hard not to avoid some of those thoughts and yeah. perspectives that I've learned throughout the years, and even compare it to some of the couples that I've seen, not in a negative way, but more like, oh, I had a couple that dealt with this. Let me think mm-hmm. about how I helped them get through that. Maybe I could use it myself or tailor yeah. it, as you said, more to in a way that'll help us. It's funny how I'll at times become a little more of that professional mindset in the middle of an argument, and that can get frustrating for her because yeah. her, it's, right. you're not listening to me. You're in professional mode. Get out of that for a second. Let me yell at you for 10 seconds.
Yeah,
back at her, and then I love what you were talking about, the technique of taking the break and walking away and coming mm-hmm. back, because I think that's something that is absolutely a key technique for any kind of any argument, really, of any size. And with that and some of the skills I've learned too, I do try to incorporate them into my own marriage and relationship, and working with my kids as well when little things mm-hmm. come up. But I'm also human. I make my mistakes. I get upset. I have my emotions. And sometimes it's a little easier for me to pick up on it because I've been in this field, in this world for so many years. But sometimes it's not, because I feel like I'm right and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Because I think like what is being taught is 100% accurate. And the more people that we talk to that are other experts, whether it's clinically or just coaches, we all have these concepts that if applied work really well, but the application varies depending on the couple, right? Because no relationship mm-hmm. is made exactly the same. So I love that you said that, because I think that is true. And that's what I was kind of fishing for. I want people to understand that, no matter who you are, you're going to have to take this and kind of fit it into your relationship as it fits, or as it needs to fit. So, 100%.
Well, our last question for you, because we have to end it, which I hate, but doesn't mean you can't come back.
Yes,
okay.
You're welcome.
So what is your definition to a successful relationship? And then after that, could you please tell everyone where they could reach you at, how they can find you, and how they can work with you?
My definition of a successful marriage is having that open communication and being open to new things.
Yes.
I've always been more of a homebody, and my wife is a lot more social and outgoing, and we create a great little balance with each other. So I think finding those differences and embracing those differences can really go a long way in defining a real happy, successful marriage, relationship, whatever it might be.
I love
that. Me too. Yeah. We feel the same way. Now, how can everybody find you?
Sure. So my website is mjmwellnessny.com. You can go on there and schedule appointments directly with me. I also provide 15-minute free consultations so people can connect with me and just have a little conversation first and see if this is therapy that's going to work out for you, and even find out a little bit more about what it is you want to talk about before we jump headfirst into the deep end.
Yeah.
I'm also on Instagram, Facebook at mjmwellnessny. And I can be found on there posting things every once in a while. My wife is big on social media too, so she's very active and pushing more on there too. So that's growing as I speak. And on my website as well, I also have some blog posts about some tips and some concepts and some information. I'm trying to post those on a weekly basis that hopefully can help out with some extra techniques that people can try at home.
Awesome. Man, thank you so much. This has been an amazing conversation.
Yes.
You are a wealth of knowledge, very transparent. And as my wife said, you are always welcome back on this show. We would love to have you back, do a part two, go a little deeper into
bring
all of
this. Bring your wife on. I would love that.
I would love that too. She'd be a great podcast.
Yeah, I would love for your wife to come on. Having couples, it really would help, just kind of, shift the dynamic up a little bit. So thank you so much for just joining us and just, sharing your expertise.
Yes,
absolutely. Thank you. It was a pleasure, and I was very happy to be a part of it.
All right. Thanks. We will see you soon, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, thank you, everybody, for just being here. Please join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the E360 TV for another enhancing relationship conversation. Thank you for watching, fam. We couldn't have done this without you. And we thank you for your support. Until next week, together we will have a new me, a new you.
So we can have a new us.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Sure, I understand it,
but everything seems brighter now than before. I don't know why I feel this way, but every time I hear your name,